Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Mark 8:22. And he cometh, Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought Jesus to touch the blind man. Now, this blind man I'm going to preach about today is found only in Mark 8. The Apostle Peter wrote about it. John Mark scribe what the Apostle Peter dictated. So it's Apostle Peter's book, but John Mark scribed it for him. Thank God for scribes. So we'll cover the blind man in Mark 8 in a little bit, but let me back up and review a little bit about a man born blind in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. The blind man from birth in the temple in John 9 and 1, he was born blind. Remember, he was born blind. As Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's hard, isn't it? Had never seen things before. Never had. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Who sinned, the parents or him that he sinned? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm about to do a miracle. I'm going to pull out my calling card. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He spit on the ground, made clay of spittle. When he had thus spoken, when Jesus had thus spoken, he spat, remember that, spit. He spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. When Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam is apostello. It's like sent. It's like a root word of apostle or like apostolic. Okay? Jesus, the great apostle, is apostolic, is sending him to the pool of Siloam, which means to be sent, which had a base of it, and a lot of things going there like apostolic. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent, which is apostello, sent out, on and on. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He did. He came and he washed in the pool of Siloam according to the words of Jesus and came back seeing. The neighbors therefore in John 8 and 9 and 8, and they which had seen him that was blind said, the neighbors therefore and they which had before had seen him, knew he was blind, born blind. Is not this he that sat and begged? They had to beg. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But the blind man healed said, I am he. Therefore, watch this. They ask him over and over and over again. He has to go through it over and over and over again. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, spit on the clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Amen. So, Siloam means Jesus was giving an apostolic command, going to an apostolic place. Then, John 9:12, then said they unto him, where is he? Where is this one that healed thee? He said, I know not. I don't know where he is. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was born blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay of spittle and opened his eyes. Then again, here they come again. The Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed in due sea. So you have to have spittle, and you have to have the clay to make this to go in his eyes. Then said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, talking about Jesus, because he hath done this on the Sabbath day. He's not keeping the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was great division among them. So they again, the Pharisees asked him again, how this happened. He said, he put clay on mine eyes, and I did wash, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. He keepeth not the Sabbath. Great division among them. And they said to the blind men again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? What do you say of him? And he said, I say he's a prophet. The man said, I say he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They said, I don't believe this. They don't believe it. And received his sight until they called his parents unto him that had received his sight. They didn't believe it. And they asked them, the parents, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents said unto them, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. He was born blind and he's our son. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, so ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had openly agreed already that if any man confess that he is Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue, can't come back to the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again, they can't hardly hear, can they? Well, their hearing does not believe, right? Then again called they the man that was blind from his birth, born blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You praise God if you rise up. Praise God. Don't praise Jesus. Well, Jesus is God. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. I know that. One thing I do know, once I was blind, now I see. Then they said unto him again. That's five times, I think. What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered, I have told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples if I tell you something about it? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And they reviled him. Thou art Jesus' disciple. His disciples, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. We know that. As for this fellow that you call Jesus, we know not from whence he is. This man answered and said to him, why herein is a marvelous thing, the blind man said, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. The man born blind was scorning the Pharisees now. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, but they didn't even know anything about the miracle-working man, Jesus, who was God the Father come in flesh. Now we know, John 9:31, that God heareth not sinners. We do know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, God heareth him. Well, if any man be a worshiper of God, if he reverence and worship God and reveres God, John 9:32, since the world began, since the whole world began, the blind man, because he had heard, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? It's never been known. Remember that, what I just said. He said, so since the world began, no one has ever known of anybody opening the eyes of anybody born blind. Remember that. If this man from the world began, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing, the boy said. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Right? John 9:35, Jesus heard that they cast, when Jesus heard they cast him out of the synagogue, and when he found him, Jesus came and found him and said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? I don't know who he is, that I might believe on him." And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." It's he that talketh with thee. I'm him. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe. I believe. I have respect. I believe. I'm persuaded. I'm totally persuaded. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I'll be constant at it. I'll stick to it on and on and on. I believe. And he worshiped him. And the word worship him is the word proskuneo, to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. That's what real worship is, like a dog licking his master's hand, to crouch down, prostrate, homage, all these words. Pros, forward to, destination of the relationship, which is predicated on and on and on. Pro, and it's down to the word kuon, kuon, kuon. The root word, this root word comes from coon, meaning to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. So you got to be like a coon dog and lick your master's hand to really be worshiping God. Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. I'll be a coon dog to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Licking his master's hand. Now, blind man of Bethsaida, only found in Mark 8, that's all. Jesus passed by a blind man on the way to Bethsaida. He was healed by Jesus in two stages, two different stages, healed in two stages. They bring a blind man to Jesus for Jesus to touch him. Mark 8:22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. So he cometh to, point indicated, Bethsaida, and having the copulative and the cumulative force, they bring, so here he come, and so they bring the blind man. They bring him in. They take and carry and bring. And it says carry and bear and carry forth. So I guess they had to almost carry him, lead him by the hand anyway. A blind man, opaque, like very smoky, a blind man, physically blind, unto him and besought him, parakaleo. Kaleo means to urge, and to urge on Paris, right near. You're right near with the kaleo. Hey, come, help, help. To call near, to call, beseech, and entreat, and desire him to, as a result, to the intent that he would come and touch him. Come and help Tomei attach himself to this blind man. Touch him. Fasten to him. Since Jesus, remember when Jesus touches somebody that's in need, fire comes out of him and it touches the one in need. So he set this blind man on fire. The need of this blind man set Jesus, had the fire in him to rise up and touch the blind man, him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand. See, there's all these people around. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. I mean, what's going on here? Why lead the man out of town? I mean, is this done in the back corner somewhere? What is this, right? So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. Why lead him out of town? He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, Mark 8:23. Why did Jesus lead him out of town to do this miracle? Here are a few possible explanations. Jesus led the blind man out of the village of Bethsaida for several connected reasons relating to the town's unbelief. The need for private meeting or setting, need for the private setting to use the healing as a symbolic lesson for his disciples to see who are become apostles. You see? It was a private thing for the disciples to see. Secondly, judgment of Bethsaida. Jesus had previously performed many miracles in Bethsaida, but the people remained unrepentant and spiritually blind. Didn't cause him to repent. So Jesus didn't want any interference. So by leading the man out, Jesus was making a statement of judgment, effectively withdrawing his blessings and not performing another miracle within the unrepentant city limits of Bethsaida. Avoiding crowds and seeking privacy, Jesus frequently attempted to keep his miracles private, away from the spotlight in many cases. His private interaction with the blind man, his private interaction with the blind man was more intimate, more personal than performing a miracle publicly. Cultivating personal faith by taking the blind man, which was an act of individual care and compassion. Jesus foretold, Jesus fostered trust. He fathered the trust and built it up in him and focused the man's attention solely on him. Jesus said, keep your focus on me. Well, he is God. And away from his distractions of the blind man and potential skepticism of the crowd. So Jesus spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw anything. Now, please, you've got to listen to this. I'm going to show you something today that people don't know. Everybody needs to hear that. Everybody needs to hear that. Jesus spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked if he saw anything. So he spat on his eyes. Spit's a big thing, spittle. Mark 8:23, and he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town. He put his spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. So he took him out. He took epilem ben amai, which means he seized him from injury. I'm going to take you out of this. He attained and laid hands upon him like a superimposition. He didn't say, would you come? He just said, come on here. He got him by the hand. Let's go. He just kind of superimposed. Let's get out of here. Taking you out of town. Right? Well, they besought Jesus to heal him. So you're going to have to go through the steps Jesus does. So Lambano took hold of him, took the blind man, physically blind, by the hand. Hollowness of grasping. You can grasp someone by the hand. There's an opening in there, a hollowness that you grasp, right? Firm. Took him by the hand and led him, carried him forth and brought him out of town. Out of town. Took him out of town. Surely did. And when he had spit, and when Jesus had spit, and by the way, this word spit is spit, but it also comes from the word petamame, it means to fly, flying. So his spit flew to him. Spit on him. There's a flying of the spittle that comes out of your mouth. Right? And when he had spit on, indicating the point reached, his eyes, and had put epitithame, it means to impose, to lay upon. Epi, superimposition, his hands upon him like an imposition, superimposition. He asked him. He spit on him, laid his hands on him. He asked him, and he asked and inquired and demanded and said, if, do you see aught? Can you see anything? Do you see anything? Do you see aught? Do you see any person? Do you see any object? The word tis. Do you see anything at all? Well, why saliva? God, listen. Why saliva? Why saliva? Why? Why? Why saliva? Why did it take saliva? Come on, somebody. Why were his hands not just sufficient? Why did he put saliva? Why? I want to know why. Right? So, why saliva? Well, salivation, the natural process of producing and secreting saliva in the mouth. Like a salivation. It's the natural process of producing and secreting saliva in the mouth. It's essential for digestion, lubrication, and oral protection. Digestion, saliva helps with digestion, for lubrication, and for oral protection, often triggered by hunger, desire, illness, or certain medications can cause spittle to come up and saliva to rise up inside you. Saliva has many symbolic meanings. In ancient and Eastern world. Some are positive, some are negative. Saliva has many symbolic meanings in the ancient and Eastern world. Some are positive, some are negative. Most people automatically think of negative connotations when it comes to saliva / spit. Saliva is spit. But there's a lot more to it than negativity. A whole lot of positivity. than just negativity. A lot more. Human saliva is antibacterial. Properties, it has cleansing. You hear? Human saliva has antibacterial properties, cleansing. From the dawn of time, when the sun came up across all cultures, people have used saliva in a pinch to clean and moisten something. Clean and moisten. Why would they do that? Clean and moisten. Clean and moisten. Saliva could be a handy all-purpose lubricator. Saliva can be a handy all-purpose lubricator when you don't have access to more proper sources that would lubricate. Wounds inside the mouth are healed very quickly than wounds in other areas due to much saliva being present in your mouth. Heals quickly. And when I'm preaching this, what I'm trying to bring to you to tell you, the blind man of Bethsaida, Jesus spat on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw anything. Well, why saliva? Why saliva? Why saliva? Why? Why? Why saliva? So again, wounds inside the mouth heal more quickly than wounds in other areas due to much saliva being present in the mouth. Saliva can actually regrow teeth enamel. Saliva can actually regrow tooth enamel on your teeth. If you have a cavity in your teeth, if it is possible for your saliva to regrow your enamel, if it can, and fill up the cavity, like mineral water in caves, dripping constantly, creating stalactites and also stalagmites. You see that? These form inside caves. Stalactites and also stalagmites. You see that? So this saliva in your mouth is possible for it to heal, cover up the cavities and heal the cavity in your mouth. Saliva can actually regrow teeth enamel, so it's like rich water in caves dripping constantly and creating stalactites and also stalagmites. Animals clean themselves and their young using saliva. Animals clean themselves and their young using saliva. The dogs lick Lazarus' wounds as an effort to clean them and to soothe and to comfort him. He licked his wounds. Lazarus, the dogs did. Cultures all through history have believed that using saliva, they believed all through history. So cultures all through history have believed in using saliva for medical purposes, It was believed and also proven to be true in some cases that saliva, the saliva that one produces while fasting, they call it fasting saliva. It is believed and also is proven in some cases that the saliva that one produces while fasting was cleaner and more potent than regular saliva. So it's believed and proven to be in some cases that the saliva one produces while fasting was cleaner and more potent than regular saliva. The olden doctors of old times called it fasting saliva. Fasting saliva was used in many different methods of healing and medicine back then. Saliva was used in many different methods of healing and medicine, especially fasting saliva was preferred to use. There were different remedies recorded as cures for bodily injury using fasting saliva. Many different remedies recorded as cures for bodily injuries using fasting saliva. One popular one was the rub fasting saliva upon an aching shoulder blade, and it would bring relief. It would bring relief on an aching shoulder blade. The thought of it seems distasteful to us today, but one cannot deny that God equipped humans and animals with a very useful tool in their own saliva. It is true. You can't deny that God equipped humans and animals with a very useful tool in their own saliva. Saliva does not only have cleansing properties. does not only have some antibacterial properties, cleansing antibacterial, but saliva also has, saliva has an anesthetic property. Anesthetic properties. Saliva also has anesthetic properties. Cleansing, antibacterial cleansing, also anesthetic. Saliva actually numbs you and reduces your pain. Like an anesthetic. It numbs you and reduces your pain. The main anesthetic property in saliva is a protein, a peptide called opiorphine. It is in its natural form of what drug companies copied to make artificial opioid drugs. So the main anesthetic property in saliva is a protein peptide called opiorphine. It is the natural form of what drug companies copied to make artificial opioid drugs. In clinical studies using rats, God help a poor rat, natural human opiorphine was proven to be a stronger painkiller than morphine. In clinical studies using rats, natural human opiorphine has proven to be stronger painkilling than morphine. The anesthetic properties in saliva is the reason why you instinctively put your finger in your mouth if you hurt it with a hammer. Oh, that hurts. People do that, you see? The anesthetic properties in saliva is the reason why you instinctively put your finger in your mouth when you hurt it with, like you hit it with a hammer. God built that instant reaction into us without even knowing why we do it. It's also, God put that instinct inside us. It's also the underlying reason of a mother kissing a child's hurt and says, it'll be better now. It'll be okay. It'll be better now. Well, she put some saliva there. Do you see? So this saliva in your mouth has anesthetic properties, has cleansing, antibacterial cleansing. Saliva actually numbs you and reduces your pain. You can't deny that God equipped humans and animals with a very useful tool in their own saliva. Right? And by the way, when I'm preaching this, what I'm trying to bring to you to tell you, the blind man of Bethsaida, only found in Mark 8, that's all. Jesus spit on his eyes. He put his spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. Why did it take saliva? Come on, somebody. Why were his hands not just sufficient? Why did he put saliva? Why?
Yes, sir.
I want to know why.
Yes.
It's important to see.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.